services that each worker churns out. And Americans have been phenomenal at this, fueling an explosion of new economic growth. The theory and promise of free enterprise is that if our workforce of millions of people becomes more productive, the workers will enjoy the bulk of economic gains generated by their improved output. Yet in this current 3-year burst of productivity, America has lost jobs and wages have either stagnated or fallen. In other words, America's working families are being fleeced by the pinstripe thieves sitting atop corporate headquarters. Workers' share of the new income they've generated in this recovery is the lowest ever recorded, while the fat cats have hauled off the most on record. An in-depth analysis by the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University finds that while the workforce usually is rewarded with 65% of the increase in national income, this time they've received only 38%. Profits, which go overwhelmingly to only a few investor elites, usually get under 18% of the productivity increase, but now they're getting more than double that. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is a massive historic level of theft, and the pinstripe dandies pulling it off ought to be wearing prison stripes.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about the speech of John Kerry last night. Did he hit it out of the park? I think he did. But I want to talk about some of the specifics. There's so much to talk about in the speech. We won't finish it today. We can continue and talk about it more this Sunday. But there's so many things that he said that really struck it for me. Just the basic point that he says that we have it in our power to change the world. I mean, this to me is the essence of liberalism, if you will, of democratic ideals, of the idea that we can make a difference, that it's not a country where you have the elite and they're born into it and the monarch has their child and they keep controlling everything and the CEOs appoint their friends who appoint their friends. This is America where we can live the American dream, where everyone can succeed. And there's so much he brought out. He brought out where he differed from the Democrats. Where he was to the right of some of the Democrats. For example, he broke with the Democrats in the Senate to vote for a balanced budget. He fought while in the Senate to put 100,000 police officers on the streets. He worked with John McCain to end the war in Vietnam. You know, the Republicans always talk about what he did in the Senate. Well, these are some things they did in the Senate. And I thought he was right to hearken back to the Clinton years. To remind everyone that in the 1990s we did balance the budget. We did pay down the debt. We did create 23 million jobs, lifted millions out of poverty, you know, helped the standard of the middle class. That's quite important stuff. That's quite important stuff. There's so much more that he did, though. He talked about why you have a positive campaign, why he cares about the flag. You know, he didn't want to let Republicans take patriotism away. And I thought one of the most powerful things that he had to say was when he addressed directly to George W. Bush, when he said, now, you know, I want to talk directly to George W. Bush because, well, let's play it, right? Let's hear what he had to say. These are his speech to George W. Bush.
In the weeks ahead, let's be optimists, not just opponents. Let's build unity in the American family, not angry division. Let's honor this nation's diversity.
Apologize for the technical difficulties. Let me read to you what he said. He said, I want to address these next words directly to President George W. Bush. He said, in the weeks ahead, let's be optimists, not just opponents. Let's build unity in the American family, not angry division. Let's honor this nation's diversity. Let's respect one another. And let's never misuse for political purposes the most precious document in American history, the Constitution of the United States. My friends, the high road may be harder, but it leads to a better place. And that's why Republicans and Democrats must make this election a contest of big ideas, not small-minded attacks. Well, I think that's very important. And I think Americans are going to go to that. In fact, I think it was a very smart thing to say, in addition to being from the heart. Because now, when Republicans do bring up the negative attacks, and that's all they've been doing. Remember, three-quarters of their ads are Kerry bashing. That's all they know how to do. They have this intense hatred for Kerry, right? Well, not really. I don't think Republicans do intensely hate Kerry. I think they don't like Kerry's policies. Right? It's very simple. They are of, and I'm sorry to say this, and if you disagree with me, call in, but they're the selfish party. They're the party that says, I have money, and therefore I'm okay. I'm healthy. I have money. I have a decent education. The rest of Americans, figure it out for yourself. They are the people who say, to turn Barack Obama's words around, if a child in South Chicago is hungry or uneducated or dying for lack of health care, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. I don't care. I don't care about babies. I may care about embryos. I may want that child in South Chicago to make sure that their embryo is protected. But once it's born, you're on your own. You're on your own. That's the Republican vision. They are the selfish party. And I don't know how else you describe it. I don't know how else you explain the kind of party they are. And so, because I think most Americans are not that way, because I think most Americans do think we're all in this together, we have to look out for each other, that, as Barack Obama says, people shouldn't expect a handout, but neither should they expect people to die of starvation and die of lack of health care in America. People should be able to work at a minimum wage and feed their families and have health care. Basic stuff. If you work hard, you should be able to survive. You don't need to have the golden, statues that have vodka coming out of their private parts that the CEOs have, and obviously they do very well under George W. Bush. But just the basic life that we're all trying to lead. In fact, in some ways, I think John Edwards put this best. Let me play for you a little bit from John Edwards' speech talking about, you know, the average American, the one that, the one that we all should think about. Let me play his speech.
Tonight, as we celebrate in this hall, somewhere in America, a mother sits at her kitchen table. She can't sleep because she's worried. She can't pay her bills. She's working hard, trying to pay her rent, trying to feed her kids, but she just can't catch up. Didn't used to be that way in her house. Her husband was called up in the guard. Now he's been in Iraq for over a year. They thought he was going to come home last month, but now he's got to stay longer. She thinks she's alone. But tonight, in this hall, and in your homes, you know what? She's got a lot of friends.
I mean, isn't that the essence of the Democratic Party? We're really like a small town. We believe that Americans should look out for each other. Isn't that the basic difference between so-called liberals and so-called conservatives? Conservatives say you're on your own. You're on your own. Democrats say, particularly new Democrats, you know, maybe not the old welfare Democrats, but new Democrats say, yes, you are responsible for your destiny. Absolutely. You have got important things you have to do for yourself. You can't sit around and just collect welfare checks. Bill Clinton said, no, we have workfare. You have to work. You have to struggle. But if you do work and you do struggle, you should be allowed a basic education, basic health care. You should be allowed to survive if you work hard. It shouldn't have to be that you have to inherit a lot of money to survive. So as Edwards put it, for these everyday, regular Americans, hope is on the way. Let's play a little more from the speech.
So, when you return home, some night, you might pass a mother on her way to work the late shift. You tell her, hope is on the way. When your brother calls and says he's spending his entire life at the office and he still can't get ahead, you tell him hope is on the way. When your parents call and tell you their medicine's going through the roof, they can't keep up, you tell them hope is on the way. And when your neighbor calls and says her daughter's worked hard and she wants to go to college, you tell her hope is on the way. And when your son or daughter who's serving this country heroically in Iraq calls, you tell them hope is on the way.
We Democrats believe that government can help, that government isn't always in the way. That sure, government shouldn't do things that George W. Bush wants government to do. And let's remember, the government is bigger now than ever has been before. George W. Bush believes in big government. He claims he doesn't, but you look at all the huge subsidies he's given to all his corporate friends and all the sweetheart deals for Halliburton and all the billions of dollars in corporate welfare and all the tax cuts for bringing jobs abroad. George Bush believes in big government, but only for his friends. Only for his allies. Things like tobacco companies. People who got stuff in the pork bill that is I told you about, the so-called jobs creation bill. We got to follow this bill some more, and I'll talk about it more next week. But the bill that gives bow and arrow manufacturers and tackle box manufacturers special breaks, that kind of stuff. That's who George Bush cares about. But John Kerry, the Democrats, we care about the person just struggling to make it. Just trying to do the right thing. That's the Democratic constituency. That's the people that we look out for. And that's the heart of the difference. And I got to tell you, and there's a lot more to talk about John Kerry's speech. As I said, we're going to go on and talk more about it Sunday. But there's a lot I thought that he said that was very powerful and quite risky. Quite risky. When he said that we value an America that controls its own destiny because it's finally and forever independent of Mideast oil, he was taking quite a risk. All those powerful oil companies, I mean, they have helped both sides, and now they're only helping the Republicans, I guess. But think about what he's saying. He's saying, and actually, let me try to play some of this for you if I can get this to work again. Listen in close. I'm going to try to play it, but while I'm waiting for it to load up, the idea that we need to be independent from foreign oil is so important. It's what got us in the war in Iraq. It's what's causing us to be in trouble now. And the idea that we need to look at alternative energy sources. Let's play some of it.
We value an America that controls its own destiny because it's finally and forever independent of Mideast oil. What does it mean for our economy and our national security when we have only 3% of the world's oil reserves, yet we rely on foreign countries for 53% of what we consume? I want an America that relies on its ingenuity and innovation, not the Saudi royal family.
Not the Saudi royal family. I'm very proud of that. I am very proud of him being the first president to mention who our enemies are in this world. Who has done more harm to the United States of America, Saddam Hussein or the Saudi royal family? Using their power over us like a cat playing with a mouse, using our oil dependence, maybe a better analogy is like a pusher. We're the victim of this drug. We're addicted to oil. We are addicted to this pusher, and this pusher pushes us around. Saudi Arabia is the country more than any other on earth that teaches anti-Americanism, that funds the Islamic fundamentalist terrorism that comes back and haunts us. It is no coincidence that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, and yet Bush can't say this. Bush is in bed with Saudi Arabia. If there's one thing you need to get out of the Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, It's how much Bush is in bed with the Saudi royal family. That's why we can't attack them. That's why we're going after Iraq. And I got to tell you, there weren't many countries mentioned in John Kerry's speech. But his willingness to take on the Saudi royal family, that alone showed me that he is the leader for the 21st century. That's about it. My time's up. I knew I couldn't get into all of this today. But we're going to go on, talk on Sunday. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. I hope you come in and listen to my Sunday show. There's 6 minutes of CNN News on Sunday, then we get right into the show. We're going to talk more about this speech. There's a lot more to play, a lot more to talk about. And I want to hear from you. If you think I'm full of it, if you're to my left, if you're to my right, if you think John Kader is great, he's horrible, if you want to defend George Bush, go ahead and do that. We're going to do that on Sunday. I hope you'll call in. And I am going to talk about a video that was posted on my blog by my